Wolves won via scrapped in June. Leeds are back in the Championship playoff final. Can they overcome the hoodoo? And we take a look at the final weekend of the Premier League. This is Cross Channel Football on Lansdowne Roar. Hello and welcome to another episode of Cross Channel Football on Lansdowne Roar. David Dunn here, joined by Martin Prendergast. And as always, if you like what you see, you love what you hear, hit that subscribe button, scan that QR code and head over to our Facebook, Instagram and our Twitter account. Martin, how you doing? This is another episode, another day of Cross Channel Football, which has already courted a little bit of controversy in one of the comments saying,
it's not a channel, it's a sea.
I'm going to be quite, you know, whimsical about this. I think it could be anything, couldn't it? It could be the George's Channel. It could be BBC Channel. It could be RTE. It could be Sky. It could be Canal Plus. It could be anything, really, couldn't it?
Anything in the touchy box, Dave, yeah.
I wouldn't know about that, Maren. I am very much anti-piracy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Great to be on again. And yeah, we enjoyed the last show. We had a good chat about everything. And, you know, I saw one
laugh your chest.
We didn't even mention Villa. We did mention Villa.
We did,
I'd like to correct that. We did. I said about how wise Alex Ferguson was in predicting that they
said he played really well. And all of a sudden that transcended into... Yeah, that transcended into, Sir Alex Ferguson, he got it right about everything. Nostradamus, he just said he played well.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, look.
You're reaching.
Anyway, I am reaching, yeah. Looking forward to, like, you know, it's been a long season, isn't it? And I'm looking forward to the end of the Premier League, to be honest. And then we've got the FA Cup final and Champions League. So, and then we have the Euros. So it's like we don't really get a break at all. So, and we're looking forward, obviously, to the international break where Ireland will be taking on Hungary and away to Portugal.
Can't wait for those. We will be over there. We will be on international duty for all of that. Yeah, I mean, it's just summer holidays. What happened to those? We don't get one here on Lansdowne Roar. We're just all the way through. And that's why we've kind of done this, isn't it? So we don't limit ourselves just to Ireland. We love Ireland, but we also want to talk about everything, the Euros. We're not in the Euros. And my things are going, probably won't be in one for a very long time. So we got to get on something. I'm happy to crack on with this. Anyway, this is episode 2, and of course, as always, guys, if you got some suggestions about what we're doing here, it is still a brand new concept. We're still changing it around. We're adding bits to it, taking stuff away. Probably have a little corner for Martin for him to cry on and, you know, spew his poison as he did in the last episode. Do you feel a bit lighter, Martin, in the chest area after all of that? Yeah. Is that shoulder area feel a little bit lighter now after removing that chip or a bit of that chip from your shoulder?
Honest assessment. And people rightly supported me in my comments and said, yeah, look, he's only speaking the truth, which is true. I'm always honest.
Ramblings. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, we're going to get started anyway. The topic of the show, the main question of the show is that, yes, will VAR be scrapped in June. So basically, Wolves came out the other day with a statement here, and just going to read it out and put it up on the screen here. But Wolves list their negative consequences of VAR. This is courtesy of Sky Sports. Don't tell them; they'll probably sue me. But they talk about here. This is their list of grievances towards the Premier League about VAR. They say it has an impact on goal celebrations and the spontaneous passion that makes the football special. Frustration and confusion inside stadiums due to lengthy VAR checks, a more hostile atmosphere with protests, booing at the Premier League anthem and chants against VAR. I think that's the major one there, Martin, isn't it? Heaven forbid they boo the Premier League anthem. Overreach of VAR's original purpose to correct clear and obvious mistakes, now overanalyzing subjective decisions and compromising the game's fluidity and integrity. Diminished accountability of on-field officials due to safety net of VAR leading to an erosion of authority on the pitch. Continued errors despite VAR with supporters unable to accept human error after multiple views and replays. Disruption of the Premier League's fast pace with lengthy VAR checks and more at a time. And they also talk about constant discourse about VAR decisions overshadowing the match itself. And then they kind of wrap it up with erosion of trust and reputation with VAR fueling completely nonsensical allegations of corruption. So there you go, Martin. Quite damning. They're going to talk about it on June the 6th, which is the Premier League AGM. They want it gone. They need, there's obviously 20 clubs in the Premier League. They need 14 of those to get that ratified. Martin, what do you make of that? Very strong stuff coming from Molyneux.
Yeah, really, really good points, to be honest. And I agree with many of them. And I'd like to see it scrapped personally. I think it has really helped. I think it's just gone over what its original purpose was, you know. And I like the last bit where they're saying, you know, about the kind of nonsensical allegations of corruption. And that's obviously Nottingham Forest, isn't it? Saying,
yeah. You know,
and then calling into account the kind of credibility and integrity of the officials. What's annoying though with VAR is you see it in the games. You actually see the players are part ref in the games now, where they're actually going up to the referees and going, look back, call it VAR. Let's look for the video. You know, I've always been an advocate of it, evens itself out over the season. And yeah, it's just one of them things, isn't it? I think we have to give the power back to the officials to make human errors. I think it does even itself out. I know that people will say, oh, Man United get penalties. But I think that's just a natural thing. If you look at stats now in football, you know, a team will get more penalties because they're the most attacking team. It used to be with Man United. So that's why that used to happen.
And yeah, Alex Ferguson with the LMA in his pocket and the referees. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree completely with most of their points. And I hope they do scrap it. I know it's been scrapped in other countries, isn't it? And, you know, I know UEFA will want to look at it, and so will FIFA. You know, they want to keep control of it. They like that being in their tournament. So it will still be there in the game. But I think it'll be definitely worth looking at, you know, the Premier League, scrapping it for a season even, and just saying, right, now let's vote on whether should we bring it back or not. It's not worked.
Let's have a look here. I mean, the Premier League want it. They want VAR, and they're going to make their case. And their case is, and it's a quote, the Premier League's own data says correct decisions in matches have increased from 82% before VAR was introduced to 96% currently. They argue that this figure will increase even further with the planned introduction of semi-automated offsides next season. So now we're going to get basically AI intelligence with offside, which, I mean, to be fair, I think does make sense to a degree. But, you know, it's gone up. It's a 14% increase, Martin. So VAR has improved or has taken down the number of errors. So it is more from a decision point of view, it's as efficient as it's ever been.
Yeah, but I mean, like, bringing AI in, that's computers managing it, isn't it? Like, at the moment, the subjective kind of opinion of the officials in the little VAR van or wherever it is watching it, they're kind of still making human errors, aren't they? Because it's subjective. You know, what happens is we a lot of us watch now football and obviously you watch it live on whatever stream you watch it on, Dave, or in the matches itself at stadiums. But, you know, afterwards, everything's overanalyzed now. Everyone's a pundit. We're looking at different views of things. And that is kind of damaging the game a little bit because you've got, you know, this tackle, well, how come it's a foul in the Liverpool Villa game? And yet when Man United and Arsenal, it's the same challenge. Why has that not happened now? Like, you know, they didn't make that decision then. It's football. It's competitive and it's physical. I can't see that you can't ever have computers running that. Maybe offsides it can and goal line technology. I haven't got no problem with the goal line technology one. I think.
Oh no, I mean goal line technology. Really well, it's a slam dunk. Like it's over the line. It's not over the line. It says it's over the line, right?
Yeah, but one thing, like, even back to. I'm looking back to the Emirates early on in the season, Arsenal, Man United, and I think, you know, was the ball out or not? And they said, well, none of the cameras in the whole stadium could pick up that angle. It was that little, that perfect kind of zone where there was just a body in the way, and they went, well, we haven't got a camera to figure that angle. So it's not foolproof even then. So, you know, I'm a bit old school.
Would you not argue, though, that it's not the VAR is the problem, it's the people running it, because I don't think other countries have an issue with this. I know Sweden, I think, is the only major, if you will, league that doesn't have VAR. They actually just said, no, we don't want it. But in other leagues, though, it doesn't seem to be as much of a talking point. The VAR, like, seems to run pretty smoothly. They had it at the last World Cup, didn't they? VAR. There didn't seem to be that many issues with it at all. Is it just a Premier League problem? Is it the fact that there's so much money involved, so much pressure? You know, there's more eyes on the game because it's the most watched league in the world. It's the best league in the world in terms of, you know, presentation, and everyone watches it. It's a global league now. It's not just, you know, England and us across the water. It's everyone's watching it, and it just seems to be a massive amount of pressure on it. That the guys doing it just aren't up to it, and until they get a little bit of AI in there, for the, you know, the more intricate decisions, but, such as the offsides, that can just go, yeah, you're offside, you're toe.
That argument's there. Even if you take away VAR, I don't think our officials are in the Premier League are as good.
Careful now, our officials.
No, but they're not though. Well, yeah.
We're not talking about the League of Ireland, Martin, right?
No, I'm just, no, but you could even mark it as that. I don't like, you know, you've heard Damien Duff come out and say about officials and that they've got to get better in the past, and yeah. I think, yeah, it just comes down to that, and interpreting the laws of the game, not the rules, Dave. The laws annoys me. That's a bit of a bugbear. I could go on a rant about that when people go, "What's the rules?"
No, we had enough of your ranting the other day. Anyway, Jesus.
But yeah, look, I think if it help, we want to help officials out. You know, we want to stop managers in their ears, you know, harassing them.
Oh yeah, we'll
probably see. You know, we've got some managers, haven't we, Dave, on the verge of a touchline ban. I mean, they were very quiet the last few weeks, Arteta and Jurgen.
Because they were passion.
Would have been brilliant, wouldn't it? It would have been great in a sense if Jurgen had lost the plot some way.
He would have just gone to the touchline. What would he have done? Find him? Banned him? He would have just gone to the touchline.
Sneaked in with the kit like Mourinho did at the time.
Like Mourinho did. I mean, imagine Ferguson getting a... Fergie ever get a touchline ban? Even after all... Did he ever get a touchline ban?
I don't think he did, no.
No, he didn't, did he? And the amount of abuse he used to give officials. And the amount... Oh, just incredible. And do you remember he used to buttering them up, and then he actually had to bring in a rule. It's like, right, stop talking positively about referees before a game, because we see what you're trying to do there. Do you remember that? Brought in that.
What's interesting, actually, is when you hear now of ex-officials in the Premier League, they all say what, you know, and who did you get along with and all this. And it's all interesting, you know, like how managers do support and interact. I mean, we're not naive. I'm not naive, certainly, in regards to this. You know, they're all contacting each other. They're all very pally with each other. It's a small kind of little network, in a sense, that, you know, it's a little bit like horse racing, very clicky, and they all look after each other and support each other in certain ways. What was very interesting, I don't know if you've seen, Dave, the referee, the ref cam thing he wore recently, the referee.
No, I didn't have a look.
He went out on the pitch, and, you know, they're doing the handshake at the start of the Premier League anthems and everything. And, you know, he's first name terms to everybody.
Yeah.
Basically, the ref, that's just, we can't be, you know, surprised at that. That's it. They're in that industry. They know each other. I mean, these referees are brought in now when there's rule changes. When there's law changes in football, Dave, they bring in the referee to kind of do consultancy at training games and things. So then they're looking for that edge, Premier League teams, and, well, football teams are. So, you know, England will do it now for the Euros. They will have a group of referees who come in to kind of help them on the laws.
But Mark Lattenberg, yeah, that worked well, of course,
with his with his tattoos.
Well, that's like two games. No, listen, I understand that. And John Fashanu used to do that, didn't he? He used to have a little helper at Wimbledon, and he used to go up and he used to find out as much details from the referees as possible.
Yeah,
He's like, oh yeah, he's got two kids, one's called Brian, whatever. And then he go up to him, he's like, all right, mate, hey, how are you? How's little Brian? How's the wife? Oh, all this. And then when he smashed somebody, he'd be like, oh, come on, John, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's been going on for years. Like, I get it. With the whole VAR thing, to be honest with you, I think they should have left it alone. I've never been a fan of VAR, VAR. I'm not just saying that because of the absolute disgrace that happened at White Hart Lane, or the Tottenham Stadium, whatever you want to call it, earlier this season, when Liverpool were disallowed an absolute, I mean, that was a clanger and a half. And to be fair, Liverpool got decisions for them. You know, it does even itself up over the season, as you rightly say. It's just the way it goes. I've never been for it. To be goal line technology, No problem with that. No issue with that whatsoever, because it's instant. It's just yes, no, boom, straight away. And you can't even argue with that. VAR, it's too subjective. I always remember my mate saying to me, you know, you could see someone like Harry Maguire, you know, it'll get to the stage where you see someone like Harry Maguire squaring up to a VAR monitor, you know. And yeah, it's too much. It's too much. There's too much money involved. There's too much pressure. There's too many eyes. You've got people that aren't up to this. They're not up to the audience. They're not up to having... I know the referee... I've never reffed a game before, but I can imagine it's one of those things. Like a player, you don't think... You know, like, if you got a player to maybe go out and act in front of, like, a theatre of 2,000 people, they'd be absolutely just, you know... Some would love it, but some would be, like, mortified. But they'll go out and play in front of, like, 80,000 people, and they won't think about it. Same referee, they'll go out and play in front... You know, they'll ref do the thing in front of whatever, and it's just, well, it's what I've done. It's just on a bigger scale. But now, all of a sudden, you know, you're going over to the monitor. You have the whole stadium fixed in on you, and there's pressure, and you've got the guy in the ear. You know, and then you probably have a mistake from the previous week. You're thinking, geez, I better get this right. And, you know, and it was a Mike Dean, was it, that came out and said he just didn't like being a VAR. And he was trying to do his mate a favor and all this kind of stuff. There's too much going on. It's overthought. And, you know, maybe AI for the offside, yeah, fair enough. But I do think it's ridiculous that someone's hair, you know, and their follicle is over the line, and all of a sudden, like, we're giving it offside. But offside is offside, too.
Yeah, but we want to see goals, though, don't we? That's what football's about. And that spontaneity of celebrating. And like Postecoglou said it recently, didn't he? You know, he doesn't even celebrate. He waits to look to see is it allowed or not. And that's just a shame. And we shouldn't be... Fans shouldn't be celebrating a goal being disallowed, in a sense, you know, because, oh, the video, like... You know, I get frustrated as well with the linesman not putting, you know, they've just got a backup, haven't they? Just make your decision. Be confident in your own ability on a linesman and go, yeah, put my flag up. But, you know, they wait and they, oh, well, it came back now and he still didn't score or what he did. And just nonsense, really. So,
well, yeah. Just to sort of finish up on the VAR thing. Well, Wolves are the only club that we know of that have come out publicly against VAR. Just looking here on BBC, apparently Liverpool are in favour of keeping VAR, which is interesting. But they want a review of full transparency. Well, that's what he asked for in October. Obviously, we know what happened with that Spurs game. And you're going to have Ipswich now, and you're going to have Leicester, who've never had VAR. Yeah, they wouldn't have had... No, hold on. Leicester would have had VAR, wouldn't they? Ipswich never had VAR before. Yeah, so that's going to be interesting because you don't have it in the Championship. So, yeah, I mean, we'll keep you guys up to date. That will be the 6th of June. So we have nearly a month until that is. Actually, just before we move on from the whole referee thing, did you see in the Euros, they have a new rule. The head of the referees has brought in, for UEFA, has brought in a new rule where only the captain can speak to the referee. And if anyone else tries it, they'll get booked. I always thought that was the way. And I always thought that was the way it was watching football in the 80s and 90s. And then a few years ago in the Premier League, I think it was about 06 or something like that, then they made this thing about it, right? Only the captain could speak to the referee. Otherwise, you get booked. And then having the same thought, thinking, was that not the way it always was? And then it sort of just went away and they're bringing it back again. I mean, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? You're the captain. Only you can speak to the referee. If one of your players shouts at the referee or whatever, goes up and tries to bully him, it's a yellow card. I mean, simple, isn't it?
I don't like it. No, I'm going to go against you with that one, Dave. I think the referee's got to control the game. He's got to control the players. It's a massive skill challenge to be able to do that. And I think you should be able to interact with everybody. I don't think it's... Okay, if the game's getting silly with challenges and, you know, you want to see a competitive match and, like, you know, the first few minutes of a derby... People are going head to head and smashing each other. If it gets, you know, they never send anyone off today in the first few minutes of a derby, really. So you kind of call them in, and that's where you get the, like, I think the captains do have a responsibility to help the referee manage the game. So that's when you say, look, it's getting a bit silly. Next one now, you know, I've let two go. Next one will be a booking, rein in your team. That's absolutely fine. But I don't want it going down the kind
Why?
Of. No, because I think referees, it will go to their heads too much. And what they'll do is it will just be like rugby. Like, you can't even talk to them. And then it becomes,
But I
on personal and stuff. No, I think they have to. Won't work? Should I tell you why it won't work?
Go on.
Exactly why it won't work. Because you'll have something like, let me think. So you'll have like Harry Kane can only speak to the referee, and then you'll have Jude Bellingham, who's like an international star or a really big high profile player, or Jack Grealish or Foden. They'll talk to the referee. You think the referee's going to turn around and go, maybe they're not great examples, right? But, you know, a referee won't book Messi for talking to him in a match just because Messi's not the captain. He won't do it. They will interact with Messi. They will get
starstruck
by these players anyway.
Well, I mean, the referee in our game against Portugal and Faro a couple of years ago was starstruck by Ronaldo.
Exactly. There's your final point.
Hold on a second. But listen, we're not talking about if Messi says, hello, referee, and the referee goes, oh, that's it. You know, yellow card. It's not that. It's just, I know why you don't want it. Here. Well, there you go.
That's healthy debate.
You got Stam, you got Keane, you've got I can only imagine Nicky Butt by the hair, and you got Giggs and you got Beckham there screaming at the referee, that poor referee, and Roy Keane right in his face with veins.
Just to apologise to the listeners, we've covered the 99 Treble documentary that we're all going to watch, and I think that's Dave. Don't go into that now. We're talking about referees and talking about
yeah. I mean, I think that's a perfect example. That's what they're trying to get away from. I mean, it's not as bad as that anymore, you know, because I think even Roy Keane turned around and said, yeah, we were a bit out of line with that one. But the thing is that it's not a case of, you know, if you look sideways at the referee, he's going to book you. It's a case of, it's to have more respect for the referee. I agree with it. I hate seeing a player screaming F off at the referee when he says something to him. I hate that. Absolutely hate that. And I don't care if it's an Arsenal player or a Liverpool player. I want to see our player booked. The referee is the man in charge or the person in charge of that game. And they deserve the respect. Now, I know you could say, well, they don't help themselves. It doesn't matter, because otherwise you lose all control. And you see some mad stuff going on the continent.
But I think the language thing, that I remember Gazza got sent off years ago against Man United, actually, in the 90s, for swearing at the referee. And it was the first, and I think they kind of made an example of him. But I think now, you know, I'm saying, like, referees who've retired now, they often will tell stories now on the dinner, you know, circuit, after dinner circuit. Yeah. They're saying how, you know, I used to tell him to F off, and they kind of knew they interact with them. The players respond better to people on their kind of wavelength, that language kind of thing in a way.
Or maybe players need to up their game a little bit. You know, think. I mean, you know, maybe they need a little bit of, they need some manners put on them. These guys are very fortunate, Martin. They're very wealthy people. They're all, if you're playing in the Premier League, you're instantly a millionaire. By the time you finish playing in the Premier League, you're probably a multimillionaire. Mm. These guys are very. You know, I don't. You know, people go on about passion and all that stuff. You know, you hear Mark Keown talk about, oh, they go into battle. Give over, will you? You know, you can be intense. Doesn't it's like when somebody smashes up a phone box. Oh, it's my passion. I'm frustrated. You know, because we lost. No. I mean, you can keep that in check. And I think the referee, I think they're allowed to get away with too much. And I think because, you know, to quote Graeme Souness, the tail is wagging the dog at the moment. I think these guys need to be brought in. You have these rugby players, right? You want to talk about intense. These guys are battering. Not a big fan of rugby, but they batter into each other. Their testosterone levels are off the charts, right? And they respect the referee. You have the big 6'10" guy respecting this little fella. And he's like, don't speak to me. I was like, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, ref. I'm sorry, no.
But that's a little bit. That's
what?
Rugby.
You're standing on a pitch, right? And
yeah, but you have to respect the officials and everything. We know that, but it is passion and everything like that. Yeah, look, I don't have a problem with the language and stuff, but I don't see you have to bring in a rule to say you can't. It can only be the captain who speaks to him, because I think what will happen then is you have to have a very strong mentality as a player then, because you're just
good.
I mean, Bruno Fernandes is a big whinger and moaner, as we know. But
he's on his way out,
he talks to the ref constantly, and the perception is all he does is tries to ref the game, you know, and moan at the time. That's what the captain's going to be doing now. And
good,
like, well, that's another responsibility for the captain. I don't I don't really think it's that big a problem that you have to stop people. It's not like you're having that thing with Roy Keane every week. Like that.
No, I mean, that has calmed down.
The refs have got to be stronger. They've got to be stronger, not take it and go, there you go.
That was a watershed moment, to be fair. But look, I'm sorry, but when you have people like, you know, going up to the referee and, you know, and they're moaning, and he's waiting for the VAR decision, and they're moaning at him, and they're picking at him. Stuff like that. It's like, the referee's going, what do you want me to do? I'm waiting for him. What do you want me to do? Why are you talking at me?
All you see now is that, you say, we're going to the monitor. Yeah, I'm talking to them.
But they still... But you still go up.
Yeah, because they're influencing. If it's for that purpose, no problem. If it's to stop that, because VAR's still in the game.
What do you think it's for?
No, but I just don't... I kind of understood it. What, you can't have anyone ever speak to the referee in after any challenge.
That's not what it's for. You know, that's not what it's for. It's going... When it's a decision going up and you have the players going up and they're like... Remember this stuff with the card?
When they go and look at the screen, they should have a thing as well that are cordon off that they're not allowed to even influence. But then you'll have the benches. Footballers... backroom staff, they'll all find a way of
they're cheating bastards, basically most of them.
Yeah, they'll all influence it a certain way. They'll be looking at the screen going, yep, that's it, or they're talking to the linesman, they're getting into that person. So
they brought out they had to bring out a spray can to make sure people weren't infringing on the free kick, weren't infringing on the yards, on their allotted yards. And then Ivan Toney came out and he wiped it away. Nobody noticed it. I mean, I'm sorry, but like, I know they always want an edge.
Fine margins.
Yeah, it is fine margins, but I think this is one. I support this one, and they should bring it into the Premier League. I think the Premier League kind of do it. I think it's an unwritten rule in the Premier League a bit, isn't it? Well, I don't know. Anyway, we're going to move it on to the playoffs. Man, proper caveman, eh? Caveman football is what we should call this.
I want to see more beach balls in the stadiums as well. Like, that was brilliant.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah. Well, you'd need it for Old Trafford, wouldn't you, with the amount of water in it? Thank you. Right, we're going to move it on to the playoffs. Last night, Leeds United booked their place into the Championship playoff by smashing Norwich 4-0. They were 2-0 up after 20 minutes. They were 3-0 up at half time. And yeah, they just put it was done and dusted. I think Norwich had one decent chance. Ampadu letting the guy in there. Well, they could play for Ireland. It's the same Ampadu I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it is.
And basically, I just kind of watched the highlights there, and you did as well. From what I saw of it, Shane Duffy didn't do himself any favours, did he? For the first goal, I do not know what they were doing, the free kick. Second goal, Duffy ball watching, but to be fair, he was left completely exposed. Mm. he lost his marker. But that's it. Leeds, can they overcome the hoodoo? I think they've never won a playoff, have they?
I don't think so, no. Look, massive club Leeds, I do listen to other football podcasts aside from our own, of course. But you know, anyone you hear who plays for Leeds, just they're blown away by what a massive, massive club it is. And to be fair to them, they've been through some relatively shit times. I know they came up, didn't they? With Bielsa ball and things like that, they did quite well then. But before that, I mean, they're the whole structure of the club and who was in charge and the money side of things, the court case of O'Leary, all that kind of stuff undermined what was a team really and a club on the verge of going on even bigger, really, and really competing. And they kind of fell away a bit. So I've no problem with them in the Premier League. It's amazing as well. I've gone past the Leeds state. I've been to Elland Road. And it looks so small from... And it is, but they packed them in there. And it's a very intimidating ground to go. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Their following's incredible. Like, it is amazing. Yeah.
Massive club. So Leeds should be in the Premier League, to be fair. They should be in the Premier League.
When
I think of Norwich, I couldn't help but think of before we move on to that one, tonight we have another playoff, Southampton at home to West Brom. A lot of Irish interest there. Well, there should be. I think the only fit one left is Will's cousin Will.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries on both sides there. But that is tonight. Also 0-0 in the first leg. And that's on Sky. That's an 8 o'clock kickoff tonight. But just going back to what I was gonna say, I was thinking of Norwich. I couldn't help but think of this man, Adam Ida. League, SPFL, Premier League, or whatever way you say that now. Scottish Premier League champion, 5-0 up at Killy. They've won 12 out of the last 13. I think they're on 3 in a row now. Obviously, Rangers weren't there for 5 of those. It's just mad when you think about it. But yeah, fair play to Adam Ida. He got the first goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
And yeah, and I don't know if you heard Brendan Rodgers. He sort of, you know, he had his Alan Partridge moment, didn't he? His needles to say, I had the last laugh. People saying he was a novice and all of that. Yeah, I mean, fair play to Celtic, but you know, it's a too hard. You know, it's Scotland, yeah, isn't it? It's not. did you hear what Rod Stewart had a go at Simon Jordan? Because Simon Jordan, actually, Graeme Souness had a go at Simon Jordan. Some of the stuff that lad comes out with Graeme Souness, oh my god, about saying that Celtic and Rangers like were miles ahead. You know, Celtic was miles ahead of Rangers, and Graeme Souness, no, it wasn't, and Jordan was just kind of very dismissive of Scottish football, saying he should be better, which he's right. And then Rod Stewart took to Instagram to have a go at Simon Jordan. And, I don't know, he said something about low-hanging fruit. And then Simon Jordan responds and he goes, if you want to see low-hanging fruit, I'll take a look under Rod Stewart's kilt.
Oh, jeez.
I thought that was brilliant. I was in Tesco's listening to that. And
I mean, it's a strange one, isn't it? Like, the Rod Stewart thing's a bit strange with Celtic.
He's from Highgate.
And things. No, I know that. Yeah, but I'm just.
Sir Rod like, Stewart, the by the whole... way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a kind of strange situation as well. You know, taking the knighthood and singing a rebel song, Grace, and then does war songs.
I have actually met Rod Stewart. He's actually a very nice chap.
Oh, I'm sure he is. No, I've been to his very stuff, but it's very weird.
He's very out there.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange understanding of kind of Celtic's fan base in a sense, the kind of hardcore, I would say, and their political kind of stances on things. You know, he's one of his songs. He has poppies and everything in the background and all that kind of stuff, and that's it's not really in keeping with
he is an oxymoron, isn't he? He's a
He sings Grace and doesn't really get what Grace is about. You know,
and then he got this thing, didn't he, on the Late Late Show? Ryan Turbidy gave him a thing about it was about the Easter Rising, and then he broke down. Oh, you got an awful time from the British. You know, you're Sir Rod Stewart for,
get it.
But anyway, congratulations. We've gone off on a tangent there. Congratulations to Celtic and Adam Ida,
and Sir Rod Stewart,
and Sir and Rod all
the Celtic Stewart fans.
And honest,
Billy Connolly, that was for you.
Oh, Jesus.
Is he Sir Billy Connolly?
He is Sir Billy Connolly, yeah.
Ah, oh, not a fucking one. Jesus.
Listen. Don't you say a word about Billy Connolly. I saw him in 2001. You know when you go to see a comedian and you think, should have maybe had a few drinks for this one. You know, will they be funny? It was my first stand-up comedian, Billy Connolly, Dublin, Point Depot, 2001. What a year that was for me personally, by the way. And he was phenomenal. Oh my god. If some people shouldn't be allowed to grow old, he's one of them. Phenomenal. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up with, well, I suppose quite fitting, the last weekend of the current season of the 2023-24 Premier League season. This is where it stands. So as you can see there, City and Arsenal fighting it out for the title on the last day. Liverpool are in third. Villa are in fourth, Champions League. And in case you didn't hear it in the first one, congratulations to Aston Villa. Although we did say it last time. And of course, Tottenham are still hanging in there for a European place for the Europa League in fifth. So what can happen on the last day? Still a little bit to be decided. So first of all, the title. If City win, they become champions. If they lose or draw, Arsenal need to win to also become champions. Relegation as well. Luton are currently 3 points behind Nottingham Forest and will need a win over Fulham. A defeat for Forest against the relegated Claret and a 12-goal swing to survive. It's not going to happen, is it?
No.
I saw that there. It's like 12-goal swing. I'm like, oh my god. And if Luton are relegated, then all three promoted teams will go straight back down for only the second time in Premier League era following Bolton, Barnsley and Crystal Palace in 97-98. Euro places up for grabs. Now we know Liverpool and Villa are in third and fourth respectively, so they are in the Champions League. However, Tottenham need only a point away to relegate Sheffield United to claim fifth place, sending them directly to the Europa League group stage. Defeat will allow Chelsea, with 3 points behind, with a better goal difference, to leapfrog them if they beat Bournemouth. Also, they will get six, Chelsea, with at least a point. But again, defeat would open a door to a team three points behind with superior goal difference. In this case, would be Newcastle. I really should have prepared a bit better on this one. Man United technically could finish sixth with a poor goal difference, currently minus three, and set to end a Premier League season in negative figures for the very first time. But yeah, they would need to, they need a 17 goal swing to leapfrog Chelsea, which is amazing. Yeah. And games, I mean,
now we're even talking about goal difference. We're talking about goal difference and things like that now. Crazy in like sixth and seventh spots and all this kind of stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah. A lot of, I mean, it's not going to happen. Games on the telly, this weekend, you've got Arsenal versus Everton. That's on TNT Sports 1. You got Chelsea versus Bournemouth, which is on Sky Sports Football Arena. You got Liverpool versus Wolves, the farewell of Jurgen Klopp. Martin has an issue with that. Of course he does. Sky Sports Premier League. And of course, Man City against West Ham is live on Sky Sports Main event. Why do you have an issue with them showing Klopp's last game, the Premier League, Martin? Go on.
I don't think they showed Man United's last game.
Don't think. You've backtracked a little bit because you weren't. You
it was
quite
5-0 that game. It was an absolute classic. Who got a hat-trick for West Brom against Man United in the last game for Ferguson's? It
was a good question. Jesus. Yeah. Was it Johnny Evans?
Johnny Evans got a hat-trick.
Was it something like that?
Johnny Evans hasn't got a hat-trick in training, I reckon.
No, but no. I know, but listen, it happens sometimes. I mean, Nicholas Bentner got a hat-trick before for Arsenal. So, you know, anything is possible, Martin, in the wonderful fantasy world of football. Right, who was it? I thought it was just somebody obscure like that.
Lukaku.
Jeez, that is quite obscure, to be fair, him getting the hat-trick. Dreadful player.
Lukaku.
Yeah, he was rubbish. Come on out of that. Come on out of that.
Jesus.
Oh, I can spew my poison as well.
Anyway, I am. It was a very good little clip on Sky Sports was just showing Klopp with his, like saying how interactive he was with the media. I mean, you look back. You know, he's like just showing his press conferences and stuff. And like when he come, how young he looked, didn't he? I mean, look, I know. What was it? Is it 8 years?
Yeah.
Eight years. And, you know, I'll be honest, he has been a really good manager in the Premier League. Like, you think of Premier League managers now, you know, I think he's up there with Wenger and Mourinho. Obviously, we're not a different level of Ferguson's, well above. But, You know, he's definitely in that category of like really established, like, you know, definitely top five, I would say, for me anyway. But yeah, like iconic, you know, I think he just, I like the fact he came in and said, we need to rebuild this club and I need people to kind of invest in it with me. And he got everyone doing that, you know, and he fell in love with Liverpool and Liverpool fans obviously fell in love with him. But he
was made for the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was made for the club. Now, people turn around and say, but he only won one Champions League. He only won one Premier League in 8 years, right? Have a listen to this stat. If Man City win the league, which most people think they will, that will be Pep Guardiola's sixth title in 7 years. And the only team to stop Man City in that period is Liverpool. That is it. And people need to understand that. That is a hell of a feat. When you're up against that City side, with that amount of investment, the best in class and everything, arguably the best coach, a generational manager with generational players, the best in class and everything. Nobody has been able to compete with Manchester City. The only club, only two clubs have been able to compete with Manchester City. Liverpool did it for a number of years and Arsenal have done it for this year. They didn't really compete with them last season because he fell away. I think they lost by 9 points in the end or something like that. But Liverpool pushed them. And it wasn't for literally a centimetre. It was a game against City at the Etihad where they cleared the ball. I think John Stones cleared the ball off the line. Salah had his legs. Literally, he was trying to close his legs and the ball just... It was just literally a millimetre either side and the ball was going back in and Liverpool could have won the league that season. I mean, 97 points against that City team to still not win the league, I mean, it's incredible. People need to understand that. And it's not like... Don't give me this this far elite. Oh, well, you have to win the league. No, I'm sorry, but that no one else. United haven't had a sniff. Chelsea haven't had a sniff. Spurs haven't had a sniff. It's only been Arsenal this season and Liverpool all those other seasons. And people, I think people need to remember that. Annie, if that Liverpool team was up against arguably those United teams as well, you know, Liverpool would have had a lot more Premier League titles, but there you go.
I think, sorry, I might have to go in a minute because I think the doorbell's just gone. If my auntie, I think it might be my auntie there. Oh, no, it might be my uncle. I don't know. If it was my auntie, had bollocks, it'd be my uncle, wouldn't it? Jesus Christ. All right. There's always fine margins in football. We know that. We know that City are cheating with their 115 charges. We know that.
Allegedly.
He, I think he's done very well. Yeah, we're going to be sued. They're coming for us with that allegation.
They'll be taking that Callum Abelby shirt off you.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah. He's done very, very well. Like, and as I said, iconic manager, and I, you know, I think he needs a break. I think he could see as well. What's interesting, and I think Sky should do this for all managers, really, who kind of last the course in the Premier League, is to kind of show their early days and show in the press conferences. And I've always said, when you'll all see the true face of a manager when they're under a lot of pressure or it's very competitive, and even how they talk about teams that are competing with them. Yeah, because it was all very friendly in the past. Like, you know, I remember it was quite sad in a way how Fergie used to talk about Wenger at the end because Arsenal weren't competitive against Man United anymore then. And it was almost like pitying him. And I think, you know, you do see the true colours of a manager then in competition. And
oh, yeah.
And some good little bits with Pep and Jurgen, I think you've seen. And even Ollie, you know, he was, you know, saying, oh, well, he's done a great job. And then with Man United, and then it was like then it was a little bit more diggy when United were a bit more competitive at that time. So, I don't know, Dave, if I wouldn't be out of City's wins, I think did United not finish second?
Yeah, but it wasn't really.
Well, there you go. I mean,
there was no title race.
I can say one sentence there, and it's just diminish your argument there that it's only been Liverpool pushing them.
Not really.
Or Arsenal.
Hold on. Okay. What season was that, Mister? You know.
I don't know.
Okay. You want to diminish my argument, son? We were going to wrap up now, but you want to go down that.
But I'm just saying, Liverpool didn't finish second every time, did they?
No. No, they didn't.
And the points we spoke about last season, the last times.
Last season, it was a 5-point difference, so that's not really a push, right? 21.
It went late, though, didn't it?
Not really.
Went to the last few games. It must have.
21-22, 1-point difference between... last season, or the season before that, we pushed them to the last day. So, what was it?
Where did Liverpool finish last year?
Fifth, was it?
Well, that's not them pushing it and making... Pep's 6 out of 7, is it?
United. Oh, yeah. United pushed City all the way by finishing 12 points behind them in the season.
That's fine, Liverpool, but no one was good behind them.
Liverpool had a shot.
When the year Leicester won the league, everyone fell off a cliff that year and it was a perfect storm, wasn't it? I'm not diminishing.
That was clubs for a season.
Huh?
That was clubs for a season.
I'm not diminishing the achievement, but I'm just saying it can happen.
No, never mind. But I'm just saying, right, when Liverpool haven't been at it, right, except for this season, when Liverpool have been at it, there has been no real challenge to Man City. Would you agree with that statement?
No. No, because it's gone. They didn't win
How
it.
Can you not
did
agree
they win
with
it
that
by
statement?
Last year? Because it wasn't that. When did
Five
they win it last
difference.
Year? They had to constantly churn it out last year. Five point
difference.
Two games. That goes down to final weeks of the season.
All right. 5-point difference. On the last day, don't think that's much. Yeah. Season before that, 1-point difference with Liverpool. Season before that, Liverpool were champions and had a dreadful season, to be fair, although still managed to finish third somehow. Finished 12 points above Man United. Let's have a look here. I see you should see, man, you could have just gone great.
I'd be interested to hear what the listeners and viewers think. I'd
Liverpool,
like to hear opinions on this.
The lockdown season, as you like to call it, even though it was gone well out of sight. Liverpool finished 18 points ahead of Man City, by the way, when he finally won the league. Let's have a look before that. 18. I know, but I want to, you know, bring on your comments. Season before that, 2018-2019, Man City, 98 points. Liverpool, 97 points.
That was the record one where they very narrowly lost it, didn't they? They
pushed. So basically, Martin, and then the one before that in 2017-2018, I think Liverpool were only getting going, to be fair. Because it did take Klopp, but people have to remember, it did take Klopp a couple of seasons to get going. It wasn't came in and was boom. It took a while.
Yeah.
City won the league in 2017-2018. 19 points ahead of Man United. 100 points. Man United finished with 81 points. So, no, I'm sorry. In the last few years, when Liverpool, and I've just proven it there, so I've just smashed your argument, trying to smash my argument, which is watertight, as always. Basically, when Liverpool haven't been at it, there's been no real cement, except for this season, there's been no real cementable challenge towards.
But there was last year.
Not really.
It was five points last year, two games. Of course it was. Who was second last year? Arsenal.
All right, in the last couple of seasons. There you go. Although Liverpool had an absolute nightmare season last season. And he almost
But what I'm saying is, right, so the argument then, right, that's fine. But with all the upheaval of other clubs and changes of managers, the one constant you've had in those clubs, you've had Pep there, you've had Arteta there, right? And you've had Klopp there. And Klopp has got away with that. Massively, you can't drop off a cliff. You look at his seasons, you can't be dropping off that much of a level to be competitive. You said yourself, they weren't the seasons where they had a year off or whatever it was, right? That it wasn't competitive. That's a failure of Klopp. Why was that happening then? Why did that happen?
Listen, I'm not denying that at all.
Thank you very much.
But every manager has failures.
No, but that's fine.
You know? But it doesn't diminish my argument. But it doesn't diminish my argument that the major thorn, except for this season, arguably last season as well, was Liverpool. And when Liverpool weren't on it, no one else got anywhere near Man City. When Liverpool were on it, they were up Man City's arse like a rocket.
Two occasions. Three occasions.
Three occasions.
And Arsenal.
Out of the last seven league titles, Pep will win six, because they're going to win the league this season, unless there's a miracle, right? That will be six titles out of seven. And the only reason why it's not seven out of seven is because of Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool.
On a really good season for Liverpool that year.
Where they
had another really, really good season, but they didn't win.
Well, they actually carried on. Listen, the problem with Liverpool has been Klopp's style of football has been also detrimental as much as it's been successful for Liverpool, because it's so... Where cities are so possession based and boring to watch, but it is a machine. Obviously, you know, they don't use up as much energy because, you know, they're not really chasing the ball down, because they always have the ball and they let the ball do the work. But, you know, and fair play. Klopp's style of football is the gang of press, isn't it? It's his style of gang of press, where it's just constant running. So you cannot do that for as long. And that's what's happened. And you saw it last season where the midfield just completely went.
Yeah,
and he rebuilt the midfield. And actually, if it wasn't for a bit of for some poor finishing from Darwin Núñez, probably be Liverpool lifting another league title this weekend. But, you know, that's, as you say, it's fine margins and that's how it goes. And I'm sure you can look back on most seasons where, you know, it was lost there, you know, with any team. But I'm just saying, I think it's been a magnificent. I mean, this started off so nice, didn't it? Then you've got up with a massive rant, Martin.
It's not a massive rant.
It's my just beautiful club there. Look at them.
Stating Rafa facts.
Jesus, right.
And look, ultimately, very good for a Premier League. And I hope he gets a fitting send off from Liverpool fans at Anfield. And I'm sure he will. The media coverage will be well over the top for it, because he's not achieved anything close to what Sir Alex Ferguson achieved.
Oh, for fuck. Come on. 26 years.
Or Wenger.
Completely different setup, completely different style. Klopp's a coach. Ferguson wasn't a coach. He was a manager. He surrounded himself with coaches. He managed the team. Well, Mullerstein, Phelan, all those lads did all the work. And you know this, Martin. So I'm not going to, obviously, I was going to sign off. And then you keep dragging me back in. You keep hooking me in. And I have to defend Jurgen Klopp. I have to defend the facts, Martin. And that's my job, to balance it out from your nonsense. And yeah, that's a completely different setup. Klopp, that club runs on Klopp's energy. And that's why, you know, his energy is diminished. You can see him now. He looks ancient. He needs to recharge. And that's why it's probably just as well he's moving on, to be honest with you. When we saw what happened in the final weeks of this season, he's run out of energy. So it's a completely different thing from Alex Ferguson.
Oh, no, it is hard when you... Like, it's a change, ever-changing Premier League, isn't it? And I agree with you, it's different eras and stuff.
Exactly. Right. Should we leave it at that?
In his final season, he has had challenges, and he's had a go at Liverpool fans for singing the song when it's not, and then he's had a go at them for booing, you know, when they got knocked out or something else, and they left early and stuff. So I think it's the last European.
The Man United game, the atmosphere was flat, wasn't it? I think it was that. And he said about the... He wanted for the Arsenal game, he said, look, if you're not in the mood for singing...
I mean, it'll be a quiz question in many years to come. And the answer is Ahmad from Man United, who ended Klopp at Liverpool. Because since then, they just fell off a cliff after that 4-3 FA Cup game.
And that's anyway, you'll sign off. That's the only claim to success that Man United have had in the last few years.
I will give a prediction now for the cup final, although we will obviously do a show before that. But Man United will win 1-0. Ahmad Diallo is the bet for the cup final. All right. He gets on the pitch. All right.
You heard it first. Right. We're going to wrap things up. Martin's gone a little bit over. Well, we've gone way over because of Martin's... Anyway, we're going to leave it there.
Vitriol.
More poison. God, how much is in there? Right. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up, folks. Thank you very much for listening. Martin, thank you very much for your participation, I suppose.
And that was question.
Huh? Therapy session. Yeah, it should be called Martin's Corner, shouldn't it? But yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. As always, guys, if you like what you hear, love what you see, hit the subscribe button, scan that QR code, head over to Facebook, Instagram, and our Twitter. If you want opinion, head over to lansandroar.ie. That is lansandroar.ie. I've never even got to this bit as well, actually. If you want to send us an email, got any comments about the show, I mean, you can leave a comment downstairs, in the comment section, or you can head over and send us an email at pod@lansdownroar.ie. That's pod@lansdownroar.ie. Anyway, thank you very much. This is Cross Channel Football. I'm David Dunn. He's Martin Prendergast, and we are out of here. Good night and God bless.